First John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is a familiar verse here. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now this is going to, I want you to think about this concerning your finances this morning, but this covers every area of our life. This is a promise of God. He just didn't say in your finances, He said in Him, in Jesus. I want to read this to you out of my Word of Faith magazine, Kenneth Hagin Church, about increasing in every way. It says, we probably all have areas where we need to experience increase. By raise both hands. For example, each of us has dreams, desires, gifts, and talents that God has placed on the inside of you. I said God has. But we may not know how to develop our gifts efficiently. I'll change the word. I'm looking for another word. To be productive in those gifts. We may not know what practical steps to take to make those dreams become a reality in our lives. The earth and everything we set our hand to must prosper as we put God and His Word first and consistently, what did we do this morning? Praise Him for His goodness to us. As we learn to live a life of praising God, learn to live a life of praising God. I don't mean every once in a while, not just on Sunday morning for 10, 15, 30 minutes, but consistently, even in the bad times. I'm not praising Him for bad things, like Kelsey said. I'm praising God because He's my way out of the bad time, right? Because He's the good times. Even though we're going through some bad times, I live in the good times because I have Christ in me. He will see to it that those undeveloped areas bring forth fruit, not to your glory, but to His glory. He'll see to it. The earth and everything we set our hand to must prosper as we put God and His Word first and consistently praise Him for His goodness. Do you want increase in your life? Begin to draw closer to God and His Word. Give Him praise. It doesn't matter where you need more fruit, whether in finances, in your career, in achieving God's purpose, God's given potential in your life. As you make it your lifestyle to praise Him from your heart, not from your head, whatever you set your hand to, not will increase, it must increase because God is faithful. Do you have a need in your life? Are you facing lack in any area? Any area. I can put my hand up there. No doubt you've prayed and you sought God about it, but if you haven't seen your answer manifest yet, don't keep praying about that same prayer over and over and over again. Mark 11:23 says, when you pray, believing, that's when you receive it. So then, you can actually hinder your faith if you keep praying the same prayer about the situation, as if God did not hear you the first time. About those parents, like those kids that Kelsey was talking about, you ask them to do something, they heard the first time, but are they going to be obedient and do it? So what are we going to do? We're going to praise God. We're going to be obedient to His Word. We speak it. We believe it. And we praise Him for it. Just present your request to God. Then begin to praise Him in simple faith, childlike faith. Daddy's going to do it. Remember when you were hungry as a child? You went to mama. You went to daddy. They're the provider. As we grow up, mom and daddy teach us God is your provider. We put simple like faith in His Word. Praise confirms to your own heart, not to God. God's pleased when you praise Him, but it's not for God, it's for you. It benefits you. Confirms to your own heart that God has heard and has answered your prayers. Because according to the Bible, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, then you receive them. And you shall have them according to His will. I can't pray for another man's wife. See, that's not God's will. See, whatsoever is according to God's will, purposes, and plans. So how do I get my prayers answered? Know the man. Know the word. Then speak that word with childlike faith, and it will come to pass in your life. Amen? Let's stand together. You got your praise on? Come on now. Yes. They're going to get us a song out there for our praise as we bring our offering to the Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. When you go to a courtroom in our land, do they come in there with praise in their heart? No, they're worried about what the judge is going to either convict them or set them free. We don't go to that court. We go to the high court in heaven. And we come into His courts with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen? Because He has given us everything to enjoy freely in this earth. And what do we do today? We take what we earned last week, what He provided for us, the 100% He provided for us. He just says, give 10 because not, I don't need your money. I need you to trust me in that 90% that you're going to keep and go out here and be a blessing to somebody else. God's going to bless you. He's already blessed you. Now, you're putting seed in the ground, but you've already got seed in the ground. Today, we're looking for the harvest. We're looking for that harvest on your seeds that you've sown as we sow seed today. Amen? And He's going to abundantly bless you. Keep your praise on. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word today. Your Word is first place in our heart. Lord, You said that we would hide our word, Your Word in our heart, that we might not sin against You, Lord. So we just thank You, Father God. We put a guard on our hearts today, Lord. And every day, Father, that we will not sin against You. Thank You, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You took Your riches and You became poor so that we could come in covenant relationship with You and receive Your riches in glory. So we thank You right now, Father God, for that wisdom that comes to us on our job. And Father, for the strength that we need in our bodies, Lord, that we walk in Your divine provisions and health. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we speak life to those around us and bring life to those that come to us because You have given us Your life. And we give You the praise for that today as we bring our offerings. We praise You. We put our praise on knowing that You have already met our needs according to Your riches in heaven in glory. And we're expecting them to be our story here in the earth of a testimony of Your glory. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bring your offering and put your praise on as you bring it. Hopefully we'll have some music as Mark dances to the front. He's the first one to get down here this morning. Y'all better speed it up. He was in the front row, though. See, Larry was in the back. So you need to get closer to the front pew. Hallelujah. You got your praise on this morning. You got your praise on. Now we have put water on that seed. We watered that seed you put in the offering plate this morning. We just put water on it because we put the praise on there. See, that seed's got to have water to grow. That's your praise. You praise God. You're putting water on it. Putting water on it. It's got to grow. See, God gives the ground. I don't have nothing to do with the ground. But I do have to do with the seed. I've got to give my seed. I've got to give my faith. My faith in my finances, that's money. My faith in healing, that's the promises of God. My faith in whatever it may be is a promise of God. And then I water it with my praise. And then God gives the increase. The praise keeps me in faith. My praise keeps me in faith. And God is pleased with my faith. And He's able to bring the increase. It drives out the enemy. Hallelujah. There's too many Christians walking around like this instead of walking around like victory. When you got victory, you got your head up. We don't need to look at what the world's doing. We're not in this world. That's why our head can stay up. Because God is above all. Jesus is above all, in all, and through all. The Word was made, in the beginning was the Word. Everything was created in Christ. It's on the inside of us. Don't let the world turn you into a grapefruit or a raisin, make you all dried up and pruny. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. We're alive. We were singing that this morning. He's alive. Our body might be a little bit older than it was yesterday, but it's alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. Speak life, Toby Mac says. Speak life. That's what's going to keep you young. That's what's going to keep you here. Now, when you're ready to get out of here, when you have a long, satisfied life, that's what the Word promises. So when you've lived a long and you're satisfied, just tell Jesus, I'm ready to go. That is a faith statement. But don't say it till you're ready to go. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. You're like, God, is my day numbered? No. Now, there's a certain day God's put on it. He's not going to let you suffer here on this earth over, He gave 120. But life and death is in the power of your tongue. Amen? You can, when you get to that long, satisfied life and you're just ready to get on out of this body, just tell Him. Jesus said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Until He said that, He could not leave. Because God never created death. He gave us life. But the devil stole it at one time. But Jesus brought it back. He brought it and He bought it. Amen. Amen. Y'all want to know what we're going to be talking about today? Not just today. I think we're starting on... The Lord's impressed me to talk about healing. You say healing... Yep, healing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you start talking and teaching about healing, you're going to face there for healing, and it's just going to manifest itself. There's nothing you have to do other than just hear and believe. And see, that's why Jesus, He went around teaching, not just on repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but what's involved in that? What is in the kingdom of heaven? It wasn't just a relationship back with God, that's the big key. But what does Daddy have? Daddy has all your needs. He has all your needs. But we're going to focus on healing. Remember a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I did a message called Access Denied. If you wasn't here and you need to hear it, it's on the internet. We can get you a CD. But we were talking about God's promises and we were given access denied to the devil. Access denied to Him, to what Christ has for me. That's what Jesus, those temptations in the wilderness, 3 times He said, it is written. Access denied. I don't want what you got to offer. I want what God has offered me. And I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to do it the right way. And because, see, the devil wants to try to get us in confusion and try to do it the wrong way. Can we remember Abraham and Sarah? God promised Abraham a son by Sarah. Not by, He didn't say nothing about Hagar. God never mentioned Hagar. Don't you think if God would have said, and I'm going to use Hagar, which is not your wife, He would have told Abraham? So see, we get off of God's plan, we make a mess. And the world, we're still messing with that mess today. Wars and rumors of war is where it's coming from. I don't need a war at my house. I need, starts with a capital P. I need peace. Peace. A little introduction here on healing. Go ahead and turn to the book of Mark. This is kind of what the Lord was impressing me yesterday in the book of Mark. I just want to read this account here. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Anybody tell me when we talk about Gentiles in the New Covenant, what were we talking about, people? They don't have a covenant with God. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. There was two people on earth. You're either born again or you're lost. You either have a covenant with God or you don't. Remember David and Goliath? David had a covenant. Goliath was a Gentile. He was out of the covenant, right? Who won the battle? David, because he had a covenant with God Almighty. Didn't matter how big the giant was. Can I get an amen? What are you facing today? How big is it? It don't matter. David was, he was a whole lot smaller than a giant, but he had a covenant with God, and that made the biggest difference in the world. Amen? It matters on who you partnered up with. Where did I say? Mark 7, verse 24 through 30. A Gentile shows her faith. See, she could have showed, me and Colette had a little discussion yesterday, she could have showed her attitude of complaining because she was a Gentile, but she showed her faith. See, that makes a big difference. If you want the blessings of God, don't show your ignorance, don't show your complaining, show your faith. Now, you got flesh. That complaining, bickering, and complaining is in your flesh, and you're going to have it. It's always available to you, but you choose life or death. That's where your spirit comes in. Verse 24, from there Jesus arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house. Say, Jesus, come into my house. Jesus wants to come to your house. And he wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. He didn't want people to know he was coming here, but word was getting out. When good things are happening, it needs to be shouted from the housetops. Churches need to be full. They need to be hearing this good news. They need to know that God wants them healed. This place needs to be full. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about the unclean spirits? It can be all kinds of things. It can be a spirit of pornography. Anything unclean. Amen? It doesn't say particularly, but it was unclean. That's all we need to know. It wasn't from God. God is clean. Clean. He's holy. Her daughter had an unclean spirit, heard about him, and she came and she brought her daughter and fell at the Lord's feet. The woman was a Greek. She was a Gentile. She did not have a covenant. By birth, wasn't her choice, was it? She was born that way. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She was persistent. She wasn't aggravated. She was just persistent. She heard about Jesus. She knew who he was, and she believed in him. And she knew, this is where I need to go. I don't need to go to Lake Norman Regional Medical Center. I need to go to where Jesus is. Amen? Now, if Jesus is at Lake Norman Regional Medical Center, I need to go there. If the doctor believes in Jesus, that's okay. I'm bringing it down to our perspective right now. I'm not saying don't go to doctors, but make sure that doctor knows Jesus. I don't want nobody operating on me that don't know Jesus. Can I get a weak amen? You say operate, yeah, if you need an operation, get an operation. But make sure you know that doctor knows Jesus. Amen? That's a good word right there. But Jesus said to her, she's wanting Jesus to cast this demon out. Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now this might sound kind of sarcastic, but this is back in their day. This is the way, the culture, the way they talked. Let me go ahead and finish. And she answered and said to the master, yes, Lord. She didn't complain. She believed what he said was the truth. But she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And Jesus said to her, for this saying, I can see Jesus with a big smile on his face. Because he heard faith. That makes God smile when you hear faith. Amen. Why? Daddy's able to release his hand and give the blessing. That makes God happy. To bless you. God's not out to get you. Some people think God is this old grumpy man that wants to hurt you. He's not a man that he should lie. He's a spirit. He's a supreme being. Amen. They need to get an understanding of who he is. I don't even fathom all that he is, but I know he is above all. Created all, and he's the master of all. He is love. That covers it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs of the master, from the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has come out of your daughter. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't cast the demon out. What got the demon out? Faith. The faith of the mother. Faith. She has authority. I have authority over my kids as long as they're under me. I'd say to the age of accountability, they can still bring things in. But because of her faith, and Jesus hooked up with her faith and said, because of that, the demon's out. He has no more authority. See, Jesus released his power into her life. She didn't have a covenant, but mercy said no. Remember, there's a good old song years ago, mercy said no. See, she wasn't allowed. Jesus hadn't been resurrected yet. He hadn't went to the cross. When he went to the cross, the Jew and Gentile both came in. See, Jesus crossed. There was a cross there. All came in. When Jesus died, It was for all mankind. For God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile, He gave Christ. And when she had come to her house, I'm sorry, the daughter wasn't even brought with her to the house. I thought the daughter was there. When the woman came to her house, she found the demon gone out. See, Jesus didn't even have to go to the house that where the daughter was at. The devil had to leave. Jesus hadn't even went to the cross yet, but Jesus had power, not as God in the earth, but as God's Son anointed, the Son of Man anointed by God in the earth. See, because remember the temptation, he didn't go with the devil's way. See, the devil came to tempt Jesus just like he came to tempt Adam in the garden, trying to steal. Because if Jesus had submitted to the devil, I said if he had submitted to the devil, it was over. Jesus would have had no power because the devil would have deceived him just like Adam. But thanks be to God, he was not formed with the seed of man, but he was conceived by the Word of God, by the Father. There was no sin in him. Satan had no place in Jesus, and because of that, we can keep him out of our place. Right? We can say the same thing that Jesus says. We don't even have to go to the house to cast the demon out. If you need to go, fine, go. God tells you to go. But Jesus said, woman, thy faith, the demon's gone. She pleaded her case in court, and she got the judgment. Amen? She got his faith. Because of her faith, she won the case. Hallelujah. Healing, if we're going to focus on healing, is the children's bread. That's what happened right there. It's the children's bread. We are now, once we get born again, we are God's children. Healing is our bread. We come to the table every morning, every evening. We're looking for something to eat. We fix something to eat. Healing is our bread from heaven, and it's ours. We have a covenant with God. Healing is your God-given right. Amen? Amen. A little introduction here. If the Bible reveals a history of God healing people supernaturally, which it does, I'll just take the if off and says, the Bible reveals a history. Let's just stop right there. This is one key, and I'm not saying nobody here doesn't know this, but people that hear this on the internet in the world need to know this. If you don't make the Bible, if this is not your standard of what you believe in, then anything in here, it's not going to help you. This has got to be your standard. I believe this is God's Word inspired by men that were moved upon by the Holy Ghost, not by man, but by God. And they were God. They breathed this in. God breathed it into them, and they wrote it down. This is the final authority. If you can't start there, if that's not your foundation, you're going to be shaken when the storm comes. This has got to be your final authority. This has got to be your source. Whenever tragedy comes, this is where you've got to go first. But you need to have it before the tragedy comes. Amen? I'm not saying you can't get a miracle, but when you've been in the kingdom of God for a processive years, you're going to grow. There's got to be some growth there. God wants some growth. So you got to stay hungry for the Word of God. I'm not just saying you read the Bible through one, two or three times and you're done. No, you keep studying. You hunger and thirst for righteousness daily. Give us this day our daily bread. We need this bread daily to survive. Not just survive, but God wants us to thrive in the kingdom. We're supernatural beings. We're supernatural people because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That's supernatural. The world, people that are outside the covenant, they're not going to understand this. Don't try to explain it to them. Just give them a testimony. Don't try to explain the Word of God to them, because to an earthly person, this is foolishness. You're trying to win somebody to the Lord, lead them to the Lord, give them a testimony. Give them a testimony of what God's done for you. Build a relationship with them. Don't throw the Word at them, because if they're not born again, they're not going to understand it. It's going to be foolishness to them. Give them love. Show them love. Do something. James said, my works, my faith is going to do something. Go out there and do something for them. Mow their yard for them. Amen. Do something. And then watch God work. Now, you might have to do it once, might have to do it again, might have to do it 1,000 times, but Jesus said, just do it. The Bible reveals a history of God healing people supernaturally. Under the old covenant, and Jesus healed people supernaturally under the new covenant. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Old covenant, new covenant. Healing is the children's bread, period. Then we must examine, put this underneath a microscope. We must examine all scriptural claims, not just, don't take a scripture out of context. Take it, read that. I'd even say when you find a promise in the Bible, go back and read the chapter before it, that chapter and the chapter after it, and then find you another scripture where it pertains to in the Bible and get you a full understanding. In other words, when I want a piece of apple pie, if you set the whole pie down there, I just don't want one piece. I want the whole pie. Amen? And if I'm tempted, I'm probably going to go for it. I just don't want one promise out of the Word of God. I want them all. All the promises of God are in here for me. So we got to search, we got to find them. God's not going to bring the Bible, just lay it on your, lay it on your chest. It's a good place to lay it when you go to sleep, though. Find them a place here. Examine. We got to examine. We must examine all scripture claims providing healing and how to receive healing, as well as every hindrance to healing. I didn't say I had every example. The Bible does. And what you do when you're trying to receive something from God, you need to get in here and read. As you read, and you just don't read, ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Because it's not the knowing in the mind, it's the receiving in the Spirit is where you're going to receive your answer from God. Right? I'm not going to receive it up here, I'm going to receive it in here. There'll be a check. There'll be a light. That'll be like that scripture will jump out at you and say, there it is, right there. There it is. There it is. And I'll just tell you briefly, I'm not going to get into a lot of the teaching today because I'm not sure how long we're going to go, but when I got born again, I had never been around, never really heard faith messages on healing. I just had been brought up in a church where you need to get born again, you're an old sinner, you need God. That's good. I heard that. I learned the Sunday school lessons in school. I learned how to weave baskets, flower baskets. I couldn't do it again. I did it. I didn't learn it. That's what I need to say. I did it, but I didn't learn it. I didn't like to crochet, but I did. I made Mom a pretty good hanging basket. Stuff's itchy, too. I didn't like it. All itchy. I can remember it now. That was a good Sunday school teacher. But I didn't hear nothing about lay hands on the sick. I don't care how old you are. If you believe God, your grandbaby can lay hands on the sick. They believe God, and God will do it because He's faithful to His Word. I needed to know that. I needed to know that God wants me well. So when I got born again, when I truly received Christ and was hungry, I was hungry for the things of God, and I went to that service, and I came in contact with a man that believed God, had heard about God, was studying about the Word, had the anointing of God operating in his life, and when he released his faith, that anointing went through my flesh and set me free, delivered me, but it brought me to an experience with God that no man can take away. I've said it before, the world didn't give him and the world can't take him away. I don't care if somebody wants to argue doctrine with me, they can argue, but I'm not going to listen because I got an experience with Jesus. And I received deliverance, I received a touch from God, and I got into the Word, and I had... You know how I dealt with headaches? I'd get 1, 2, 3, 4 headaches a day. You know why? Because I was in the world dealing with the world the way the world deals with things, and I was having headaches. What would I do? Get me a goodie, take me an aspirin. The headache would cease. I'd go on with life. That was normal. See, but once I got born again and started reading this Word, and I heard a man on the radio by the name of Andrew Womack, who had been preaching probably 20 years, said, I ain't had a headache in 15 years, 11 years. I said, praise God. I wonder what kind of medicine he's taking. He said, because I take the gospel. I'm like, gospel? Gospel? The man just believed God when he got born again, started operating in it, started acting like it, and started speaking to things. Jesus spoke to fig trees. Jesus spoke to demons. He spoke to sicknesses, diseases, whatever it was. So I said, well, if you've done it for Andrew, God's no respecter of persons. I started speaking to my headache. I don't get brain freeze anymore. That's a popular thing now. You drink a good old slushy, real brain freeze. I don't believe for brain freeze. Now, my throat can get real cold real fast, so I don't drink that slushy that fast. I take sips. I enjoy that slushy. But I don't believe in brain freeze. I don't believe in headache. Now, something can start and cause it to, if you've got an issue, but I speak to it. I started speaking to it. And I could feel the headache just leave. I mean, it was like a, you know, like something, you know, like if you got a pin, somebody just pushing your head, and then it takes away. I would speak to it, and it just, and I was like, praise God, this works. So, 17 years now, I can say what Andrew said. Headaches have come, but I speak to them. I don't deal with a headache anymore. And I had a lady that I was working with at the time. She had migraine headaches. I'm talking about, she would call in sick because they were that bad. Migraine, mal, whatever you call them, grand mal, that's a seizure. I testified to her. I said, you don't have to deal with that. The Word of God can handle that. She didn't believe it. Now, she's a Christian. She believed that God saved her, that she's going to heaven, but she didn't believe God could take care of that headache. She wouldn't operate in that power. She wouldn't let that. See, she has to believe that before you can receive it. You got to believe it before you receive it. All you got to do is believe. It sounds foolish. So you want me to speak to my headache? Yeah. Jesus spoke to fig trees. They thought he was crazy, insane. Look where it got him. Got him back to heaven, right? It took him to the cross, persecution, but that was his purpose. They didn't take Jesus to the cross. He went to the cross. Amen? He didn't have to go. He said, but Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because he wanted the cup to pass from him. He didn't want to receive and be sin for the whole world. But he wanted to do the will of the Father. And that was his will. They had already discussed it. But his flesh, I'm talking about Jesus in the man, the Son of Man, on this earth, did not want to die on that cross. Because God never created mankind to die. But Jesus said, not my will. Now he's talking of the will of the Father. They decided this before Jesus even took on a body in heaven, that he would be the Lamb before the foundations of the world was formed. Amen. So I started there. I started with headaches, trusting God. God showed me one day, I used to work in apartment maintenance. We mowed yards 3 days a week. And I'd be out there mowing, cutting, trimming. God speaks to you all the time. But are we listening? Do we have our antennas? Do we have earwax? We listen to all these traditions we've been heard through the day that God don't speak to, he only speaks to the priest, to the pastor. We need to get that wax of tradition out of our ears, and we need to be listening because he's speaking. We're just not tuned in. But he showed me a tree because we're out there trimming trees, pruning trees. We had cut that tree 2 or 3 years prior. You know what happened? What happened if you cut a limb off a tree on the trunk? What happened? A little knot comes up, right? A tree heals itself. A tree heals itself. You know why? Because God designed that tree. If you get pruned, you heal yourself. Who's on the inside of you? The Creator. He created us. Adam had, I don't know if he had shoes. I don't know if God made him shoes. But guess what? He was stepping on things. I'm sure there was cuts and bruises. They were in the earth. I'm sure they had things happen in their bodies. They watched their body heal itself. See, God has put on the inside of it. He created our body. It's created by the Maker. If it gets bumps, bruised, cut, it heals itself. You don't have to worry about the healing process, right? It's in there by God. What you got to worry about, what you got to understand is there's an enemy out here trying to tell you God don't want you well. And see, that's your mind. A lot of your healing functions through your mind. Your brain sends impulses to your body. See, this is where the devil's fighting you. He can't get in your spirit, but where he gets, he fights you in your mind and in your body. He's a flesh devil because he's already been kicked out of his authority because of rebellion. He rebelled against God, pride. So see, God showed me healing is as simple. That tree does not have to be told to heal. God created to heal. God has created our body to heal itself. What we don't want to do is fight against that. I don't like radiation. I don't like man's way to attack disease. I like God's way. You had a pastor here that stood his faith, had the doctors cut the cancer out, but he did not want that radiation, that medication. And that was his choice, and he chose to go that route. How long did they give him? 6 months. How long has that been? Years. I've been here, gosh, this, I've been here probably eight years. Seven. See, he chose the higher way. Now, he didn't refuse the surgery, but he heard from God. And that's what I've heard through his testimony, that he heard from God, have the surgery, but do not take the radiation. So you got to hear from God. Now, God supernaturally does. His word is supernatural. Always set that to be your first reception. Receive supernaturally. That's the best. That's God's best. Amen? Jesus said, all those that came to him received. But we've got an enemy. There's an enemy out there. They didn't understand the enemy like we do, because all this word had not been written yet. Jesus had not went to the cross yet. He took authority on them. But the church, now we've got to understand, we have that authority. And we've got to stand up in our God-given authority and speak life. Amen? I'm just getting into the introduction on this. We ain't going to go too far. But these are things you need to hear. And I would say you've got to build, not that God's power cannot, there's no difference for God to heal cancer than to heal a cold. But we're the variable. The devil is the variable. God's never the variable. Take that out. It's never, God's will always is to heal. Amen? But there's things we don't understand. There's things the doctors might not know, but they're practicing physicians. You're the one they're practicing on, right? They don't know it all. They're just practicing. We're going to go this route. They got plan A. They got plan B, C. If that don't work, God has plan A. Jesus. Healing is the children's bread. Take and eat. Eat. But you got to be hungry. Amen. You got to get in there and you got to examine. You got to find it. I can't find it for you. I can show you. I can give you testimonies. Because we're all going to have battles. Amen? We're all going to have battles. The devil's going to fight. He's coming for the word. He's coming to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But he can't steal, he can't kill, and he can't destroy you unless he gets the word out of you. Amen? You get the word in there, he can't fight the word. Jesus, he's already defeated him. So when you start speaking the word, declaring the word, you're victorious. And that's what it's going to take. Whether it's a cold, whether it's the flu, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, it don't matter. Speak life. Speak life. How do we begin? We begin in faith. How do we begin in faith? Since faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins, true Bible faith. So you could have faith in a doctor. This is what... When I went to the beach, I gave the testimony over here Wednesday. We got back. When I got down to the beach, I've had situations before when I got back, my sinuses all stopped up because of the wind. We're out there in the sand. All week, I got home. I had one of these bad headaches when we come home. I'm sorry, this is before I was saved, because Sherry drove us home. I had my head down in her lap all the way home from the beach because I had such a sinus backup. And I went to the doctor, and they shot me with whatever they did. But I couldn't even lift my head up. It hurt so bad. That was before Christ. But I got down at the beach. About the second day, I looked down. My feet are swelled up. I mean, I'm talking coming back up about a foot up. I mean, I can't even see my ankle bone. I'm like, what is this? I mean, it didn't hurt, but then as you start walking, they're a little bit tight. It wasn't no pain, but I'm like, I ain't standing for it. See, now, what's going through my mind? I've seen my mom's feet swell up. So I'm thinking, well, she's got diabetes. She's a diabetic. And I'm thinking, here's my mind. And her feet swelling. She's got fluid. I thought about her brother. They're taking fluid off him. He's got heart problems. See, here's the devil. I got him going now. All these things. I said, no. I spoke to my feet. Commanded the fluid swelling to go down in Jesus' name. Now, they didn't go down until I got back home. That was probably 4 or 5 days later. But I believed, when I spoke to that, I believed it. And what I had to do, I had to quit searching on all these things about swelling feet. Because, see, that was my mind's instinct. I want to know what's going on. Well, I don't need to know what's going on. I need to know who's on the inside of me. And he knows what's going on. See, that's as a Christian perspective, that's where we got to change our thinking. We got to think like God thinks. Speak life. All the promises. I'm blessed. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm going to live a long, satisfied life. This ain't a part of the blessing. This is a part of the curse. Fluid, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. See, that's going to sound foolish. I don't care. I'm not speaking from my head. I'm speaking from my heart. Didn't have to go to the doctor. I'm not saying it would have been bad, but it's gone. Save money. So I'm just giving you, I can give you experiences that I've had. I can't tell you personally what to do. You've got to hear from God, but this is what He says to do. And if you do it, it'll work. Amen? But you got to work it. The Bible says, this is not a part, but you remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, and they did not get to enter into Promised Land because all the promises that Moses was trying to tell them to do, it profited them not because they did not mix it with, somebody help me, faith. They had the promises. Moses was giving them the law, which was the promises. It was actually, that's the ministry of death. We don't want to get into that. Just disbelief, disobedient. This is what God says do, and they didn't want to do it because they wasn't mixing it with faith. They were mixing it with, they were trying to say, well, I need to see something. I need to see this. God says, no. You got to believe this, and you'll have this. And that's where they didn't mix it with faith. And I thought about just an illustration of what I talked about, that apple pie. Reed could probably tell me the ingredients to make a nice apple pie. Flour, apple, cinnamon. I can have all these ingredients sitting on the bar. My main picture is apple pie. Well, what if I leave the apples out and I start to eat the pie? What's it going to taste like? Something ain't going to be right. Mixing it with faith. All the promises are out here for healing, for financial blessings, for your children to be blessed, no generational curses, but you've got to mix it. You've got to put faith in there and mix it. Mix it with faith. If you don't mix it with faith, you're not going to have the end result, which is the apple pie. You're going to come out with a lumpy, dumpy something. Amen. It ain't going to taste right. It ain't going to look right. It ain't going to be right. And see, but if you put God, if you mix it with faith, faith is just, and this is a good definition, a couple of definitions. Faith is believing God and acting like it. If I'm sick, I'm going to be acting well. I'm not doing it because I'm saying I'm a liar. And I believe God. Faith reaches hold of the impossible, sees the unseeable, and brings it into being. Not when it gets here, before it gets here. I start dancing and praising God, and it manifests. It shows up. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Joy of the Lord is my strength. See, all these things, you have to make a decision. I'm going to rejoice now. Not because what the doctor's report says, but what God's report says. That's what we've got to rely on. And we've got to mix that with faith. Faith is reaching out and taking hold of the promises of God. That's my part. I don't care if you die doing it. This is not a doubt statement, but I'm just saying this is the commitment you've got to do it. If you die reaching out, believing the promises of God, where are you going? You're going to heaven. You can't lose trust in God. But any decision you make, that's between you and God. But I'm here to tell you, we're all going to come against decisions that we're going to have to make in life. The decision we make when it comes, what determines the decision we make is how hungry we've been for the Word of God. God loves us regardless of the decision we make. I'm not bringing a message of condemnation to you concerning healing. I'm bringing a message of life. God loves you regardless. And don't put your ingredients up once you receive your healing. Because, see, as long as we're walking here on this earth, we're going to face obstacles. That keep all your ingredients out. And definitely before, but there's one ingredient that you'll never be without. And that's faith. But you've got to mix it. See, our part is to put in the mixer and mix it. Got to stir it up. That's what makes all the ingredients work, is our faith. Not faith in me. Now, see, this is where there's got to be a balance between grace and faith. That's going to be something we might talk about later. It's not my grace. It's not my faith. It's all God's. I just take the part He's given me to work with, which is faith, and mix it with His grace, which has already been provided. Jesus is the apple. We are the apple of His eye, but He is the apple. Amen? Amen. He's the whole part. He's the main thing. He's the apple pie. and all the in-between. And you was talking about healing Maudie. Tell us, Maudie. What'd you tell me this morning? No spells in 3 weeks. Praise God. All the glory goes to God. Now, she had to, what did she do? She came up. She made a step of faith, and she came up and made a request. And she stood her ground and said, I believe what's been taught in this church. I believe I don't have to have these spells. Don't care how old we are. Because we're young. God doesn't look at our age. He looks at our hearts. Whether we're 80, 50, 60, 80, it don't matter. 99. We can be as strong as we can be like Moses. No, I believe it was Joshua. Let's go take this land. We're well able. I'm 80 years old. Let's go get it. God says we can have it. What are we waiting on? Let's get our battle armor on. Let's go get it. The enemy got it. The giants have got it. There's giants in the land. I don't care. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a God that loves His people and has provided healing as a part of the atonement. Been preaching, been talking about healing this morning, and we're not done. We're going to continue our journey of healing. We'll just call it our journey of God's healing as we continue on. But if you need to mix it with faith this morning, this is your opportunity. And I'm here just like Moses was a mediator between God and man. I'm not your mediator. Jesus is our mediator. But I'm here to agree with what He did on the work on Calvary. That if you need something in your body, you know somebody that needs something in their body, it's our opportunity. If you need to come down here and let us agree with you, we'll come and agree. Because, see, now's the time. We've been talking about healing. Your faith is up for healing. You need to act on it.